Lord, we thank you that you fill us with good things. Help us to see your abundance in our world, in Jesus' name. Well, friends, I wonder if you've had a chance to look through our dream document that came out during the week. I'm hoping that over the next couple of weeks we might talk a little bit about it, not just in terms of our direction or the activities that we do here, but why we are doing what we do. As a church, we're called to be great neighbours. Great neighbours are not simply people that refrain from playing loud music at night. Great neighbours are people who help their neighbours to thrive because they understand something about abundance. Understanding abundance isn't easy when we live in a world that is shaped by prosperity. So today I wanted to tease out a little about the difference between abundance and prosperity as we consider the dream that we have for our little corner of Canberra. I think if you wanted to see the difference between prosperity and abundance, then we need look no further than Matthew 14. And the contrast that is drawn between a birthday feast in a luxurious palace and the wilderness feast that occurred where God's kingdom is born. One demonstrates the reality of human indifference and brutality. The other illustrates God's abundance. Herod's party was all about prosperity, the desire for it, the enjoyment of it, and the lengths that people will go to in order to protect it. The feast was not simply a birthday celebration for a few family and friends. It was an occasion by which rulers demonstrate to their court their connections, their status, and their power. Herod does what he pleases. Enticed by his stepdaughter's seductive dance, he grants her anything that she wishes. You see, Herod had caused a great scandal by marrying Herodotus. To do so, Herod had to divorce his wife, the daughter of an Arabian king. And well, this kind of slur would not be forgotten. Furthermore, Herodias was his sister-in-law and niece. Not only that, Herodias needed to initiate a divorce herself, a step that might be acceptable in Rome, but in country Galilee, well, even queens were expected to be submissive. The prosperity that Herod enjoyed was fragile. He's not a man of strength, but of fear. He's afraid of John the Baptist. He's afraid of the crowds. He's afraid of losing face in front of his court. And so he protects himself by serving up the head of God's prophet upon a plate. Much of our world chases the kind of prosperity that is embodied in Herod's palace. It comes dressed as the hunger for success, the craving for status, the pursuit of personal freedom. This kind of prosperity is largely self-focused and it is always transactional in nature. Much like Herodias, the question when we are surrounded by prosperity is, what do I have to do in order to gain what I want? This kind of pursuit of prosperity was exposed recently with the Robodebt Royal Commission. How 434,000 people were served up to satisfy the ambitions of a few government leaders. The church is not immune to this kind of impulse. The prosperity that Christians so often seek is God's blessing, which often comes dressed in the garb of spiritual perfectionism. This is always self-focused and transactional too. It says to itself, if only we pray enough, believe enough, are pure enough, then surely God's blessings will pour down from heaven. And so things like obedience and authority and conformity to a leader's vision become the road to godliness. I don't know if you noticed, but this kind of prosperity was recently exposed by Hillsong, where the ambitions of a small family were served by thousands of volunteers around the world, much to their cost. But the world of abundance is different. This world is seen in the feast that is hosted by Jesus in the wilderness, where prosperity is always demanding, abundance is unexpected. Where prosperity is transactional, abundance is deeply relational. Where prosperity is always about how much can I gain, abundance is about what can I share. So while Herod uses a party to display his importance, Jesus withdraws into the wilderness. Where Herod puts on a show, Jesus finds himself immersed with people. People who are in need rather than those who are searching for entertainment. Jesus sees this crowd and he has compassion on them. Compassion is not simply an expression of sympathy. They're there, poor pet. Nor is it a matter of trying to fix people, let alone leveraging their needs in order to focus attention upon who's to blame. This kind of stuff is what Herod does in order to exercise power over people. This results in John's death. By contrast, Jesus exercises power with people. With people in order to make a difference. And so everyone who was sick was healed. This is not reserved for the good and the godly. It's not transactional. It's not provided simply to those who are repentant or those who make grand promises about their piety. No, God's healing blessing is provided to imperfect people without constraint, without caveat, just out of compassion. And so the sun begins to set and the disciples grow alarmed because large crowds always grow unruly when they are hungry. So they come to Jesus, the disciples do, and they say, tell everyone, show's over, go home, look after yourselves. Who doesn't like telling Jesus what to do? But Jesus looks beyond their fear and their need for self-protection. No one should be sent away, Jesus says. You feed them. The disciples respond to this challenge by doing what they always do. They turn out their pockets only to find five loaves of bread and two dry fish. By John's account, they didn't even have this. This was borrowed from a boy standing nearby. Shaped by the world of prosperity, the disciples can only see what they don't have. What they have is no match for the need that surrounds them. But Jesus can see the abundance that lies within, and so he does what he always does. He takes what is given. He gives thanks to God for it. He breaks it and gives it away. Abundance is always found where empathy, creativity, gratitude, and sharing go to work. God's abundance is never confined by the bigness of the problem, nor by how little we feel or seem to be. Christians are not sure as to the nature of the miracle that unfollowed. Was it the mystery of multiplication, of bread and fish that just kept going and going and going as the disciples walked around the crowds? Or whether it was the miracle of sharing, when people gave generously of what they had to those in need? This is perhaps to miss the true miracle, that a little will always become a lot when it is given away with compassion. Matthew doesn't tell us how the miracle unfolded, only what happened next, that all were filled with 12 baskets of leftovers remaining. In a world that's shaped by prosperity, there is always too little time, too little attention, too little energy, too little capacity to change anything. What we see is what we lack. And so we protect ourselves. We strike bargains as we try to figure out what we have to do in order to gain what we need. And so a church that's focused on prosperity will always end up worrying about itself. It will act in self-protective ways and fail to see the need of those around it. It will do ministry to people, and it will live off those in its neighborhood. But a church that's focused upon abundance lives and works differently. It will be a wellspring of faith and hope and love to those around it. It will be a great neighbor because it wants to make things better and is prepared to do things with those who live outside. It will show empathy and express gratitude. It will be creative and share what it has so that more might be found. It will be curious and present because it wants to see everybody thrive, even if what it has to offer often feels to be little more than a few loaves of bread and a few dry fish. We are learning to be an abundant church. On the first Friday of every month, when everyone is tired from a long week, more people than pizza tends to show up here at church. Pizza night is one of those occasions where we get to be great neighbours. Where a mindset that's shaped by prosperity might be distracted by the numbers, the amount of people, the amount of pizza. A mindset that is focused upon abundance will see something else. Pizza night is not about pushing people to do anything. It's not about leading them to come to church. What we are doing is simply taking what we have, blessing it, breaking it, and sharing it. Make no mistake, the pizza is gone in about 15 minutes. But the people will stay on for more than an hour to talk with each other afterwards. And a miracle slowly unfolds where strangers become friends. The pizza is simply a door that opens the way to friendship to those who are looking for a new connection. It allows people to be heard and seen and valued. And while the pizza does fill up a few tummies, it's God's love that fills up our lives with a little bit of joy and peace and kindness and generosity and gentleness on a Friday night. Holy Covenant as a church is sustained by people who understand abundance. They give their time and their energy and their money, not to make this church great, but because they want to be great neighbours. It's from this abundance of the heart, from this empathy and generosity and a willingness to share, that our dream is slowly coming to fruition. Not just through pizza, but through things like knitting and dinner club and covenant care and book club and in so, so many ways. So as we gather around God's table once again, let's dream of God's abundance and catch a vision about how we might yet become great neighbours to all those we share life with. Whether it's here in Cook, in our workplaces, in our families, or our leisure groups, we are great neighbours because we share God's love out of the abundance of our hearts. Amen.